I lift my hands to believe again. Yes, He is faithful forever. He is faithful yesterday. He's faithful today. He's going to be faithful tomorrow. We have a lot of our middle school and high school students in on retreat this weekend, and the leaders as well. So we're going to have our students stay in here in worship today. And my prayer is that this message will be something that connects with you right now, right where you live, and will help you to make a difference in the lives of people you know your age. I want to introduce to you my, well, Linda's friends from Dayton, Kelly and Lamarck. Now they're my friends from Dayton too, Kelly and Lamarck. Let's welcome them. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. The early Christian leader Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes these words. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. These instructions in these few verses are at the very core of the mission that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. Well, you might say, well, it sounds like it's not about mission. It sounds like it's about relationship. It is about relationship, but our mission is about relationship. Our mission is related to relationships that we have with the Lord and that how we help others come to and grow in relationship with Jesus Christ. So this is at the very core. This is vital to who we are and what we do in serving Jesus Christ. As we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill these instructions, the calling on our lives, and if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a calling to Him and there is a calling for Him in your life. So as the Holy Spirit empowers us to fulfill these instructions, the call to us is fulfilled in a great way, in a way that bears fruit for the sake of the cause of Jesus Christ in us and through us and for His glory in this world. The focus of this message today at times could be intensely distracting depending upon what your past is relationally. We could be drawn as we touch on these topics to get into feelings that we have based on relationships that we have or have had in the past. We could get drawn to guilt, to blame, to anger, to any number of feelings, emotions. But I want to encourage you to stay with what the Lord is speaking through His Word and make this to be not about yesterday, although there might be things that the Lord unveils today that maybe have even been in hiding, not in anything I say, but just in what the Holy Spirit brings to you as we talk about these topics. But if that is the case, deal with that afterwards in prayer, perhaps. But today, let's focus on what the Lord is saying to us about tomorrow. Going forward, the mission that we have tomorrow after today. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to hear you today as we listen to your word from Scripture, as we attempt to hear your voice, Lord. Would you help us to hear? Would you help us to discern what is from you and what is not from you? Lord God, would you help us to see the instruction, bearing with one another in love from your perspective, to understand it from your heart, to believe according to your word about how vital this is for your mission on this earth. Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. Have you ever experienced something and you get to this point and you look at what has happened and you say, it could have been different. That could have turned out a different way, positively or negatively. Growing up in my neighborhood, I didn't think about how parents were very much because I was busy doing my thing. But as I got into my late teen years, as I became a believer in Jesus at 18 and then into my early 20s, I started thinking about what happened when I was growing up and what was with those parents. Because here is my remembrance of what it was like with my parents and most of my aunts and uncles and then the parents in my neighborhood. It's like they did their jobs and then they partied. They kind of didn't really engage in the parenting process. They were doing their own thing. And as I was then got into like my mid-20s to upper 20s, I began to have a little bit of a different perspective because I began to understand what my parents and my aunts and uncles and the parents in the neighborhood all went through. Most of them went through the Depression and they went through World War II. And oh, the world was on the line. And this group of people, they went to work. If they weren't fighting the war or in the military doing something to help save the world, they were back at home working, sacrificing, giving up things, helping produce things to help save the world. And they saved the world. And now I think, God bless them. Good for them. I understand maybe why of all they went through that they just didn't want to have to deal with things in some ways. And I'm not painting a broad stroke picture of everybody in that generation, but that was just my little small world experience. But it hit me, look what they did. It could have been different. It could have been. Those people could have said, oh, I'm not worried about Hitler, Mussolini, Japan. Not worried about these people trying to take over the world. Not worried about countries being invaded. They're not here after all. We're safe here. I don't want to invest. But they did. They gave it all. And because they bore that burden, things turned out like they did. It could have been different. When I was 19 years old, the summer before my sophomore year of college, I was a camp counselor in Minnesota. I was actually the boating counselor. Thank God I wasn't a cabin counselor, had even to be with the children all the time. But this camp was for troubled inner city youth who were a part of a social agency that did outreach to their families. And I want to tell you something. These children were troubled. They were troubled. And that's not their fault. But what happened because they were troubled was they were trouble. They caused trouble. It was difficult. It was a really, really, I thought, oh, cool. I'm going to be a boating counselor. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be out on the lake, fishing, boating, all good. It was hard. It was exhausting. And then worst of all, sometimes I had to relieve the cabin counselors for nap time. No naps took place. But we had this children there for like 2 weeks at a time. And there's a boy that I still remember. His name was Timmy. And I thought a lot of things about Timmy over that two-week period, but one thing that came to my mind was, how did a little boy of about 8 years old get to be so bad? How did that happen? Because this little boy, I mean, his language, the allusions he made sexually, his violence, it was shocking. He was 8 years old. And by the way, I still remember him. But I tried hard not to like just get really mad at him all the time because of the things that he would do. It was like when a little child punches another little child, it's hard not to get mad. And then one of the things I got to do was ride a bus with the children. We picked them up at this place, then we took them to the camp, and then we brought them back in the bus. And so Timmy was on the bus when we were going home, and get off the bus. I'm looking at Timmy, and here comes his uncle. His uncle unbuckled his belt and pulled it out, was ready to whip him with the belt, one bad word. And I realized Timmy was an abused boy who was going to abuse others because of being abused. It was tragic. It could have been different. It could have turned out a different way. If somebody would have bared with him in love. It's the same with us. It could have been different one way or another, but he shaped his story in my story. He brought his story into my story. It could have been different in his story, his history, the Lord's history, his story with Peter. Jesus could have done it a different way. Peter was always, almost always, doing obnoxious things. He was saying the wrong thing. He was doing the wrong thing. And then, oh my gosh, Jesus could have just put him away. But Jesus bore with him in love and helped Peter get to the place where God intended him to be in helping that mission of Jesus Christ advance in this world. Could have been different with two men that we read about in Scripture, John Mark and Barnabas. John Mark was a young man who went with Paul and Barnabas on a mission. And it doesn't say why, but for some reason, Barnabas gave up and he went home. And then when it was time for another mission with Paul and Barnabas, Paul said, you know what? We're not taking John Mark with us. Barnabas said, oh, I think that we should take John Mark with us. They had a disagreement. Barnabas took John Mark with him. And God worked in John Mark. God worked through John Mark. And if, by the way, you read the gospel according to Mark, that's who we're talking about, John Mark. Barnabas bore with him in love. It could have been different. And with Paul and Barnabas, it could have been different. Two important leaders in the mission advancing the cause of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. At that point where they disagreed, they could have gone their separate ways. They could have decided, oh, I'm never going to have anything to do again with Barnabas or Paul. Could have gone a different way. But they bore with each other in love. And the end of the story was that they loved each other and they served Christ together. They stayed. They bore with each other in love. What about you? Can you think of how it could have been different for you if someone did or did not bear with you in love? If that person would have borne with you in love, what? How could that have been different? Or the fact that somebody did bear with you in love, how is it different? How did Jesus Christ work in another person's life to bear with you in love that shaped your life? I have so many examples of that in my own life. I wouldn't bore you with them, but I'll just say one that when my life was in process of being drawn to Jesus Christ, when I was far away from him, there were people, young life leaders who they bore with me in love because I was obnoxious. I was not the person that you would enjoy being around if you were them. But they stayed with me. They kept coming. They kept initiating relationship with me. They bore with me in love. And I believe that God used that to continue to draw me to Jesus Christ. It says, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. The love referred to here is the love of Jesus Christ. The love that Jesus Christ expressed in the cross. That's what that is. It's a love of family, but it's beyond that. It is a love that Jesus showed as he bore his own cross by dealing with the people around him and not giving up on them, but continuing to love them and teach them and move them along. It's the love that he showed on the cross. It's the love that he continued to show after the cross because he went after the people who rejected him. He went after the people who put him on the cross to bring his love and truth and life to them. Bearing with one another in the love displayed on the cross. It's the expression of long suffering. It says in Ephesians 4:3, I believe it is. It says, two, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. That expression there, be patient, may be better stated, be long suffering. That's another way to translate that word. Be long suffering. And then that long suffering is what starts bearing with one another. Bearing with one another is the expression of long suffering patience. We have this internal long suffering, and it comes out in the action of bearing with one another in love. There is here the idea, there's two ways of bearing with one another as an expression of long suffering. One is restraint. One is restraint. Maybe that's where it starts. We hold back what our sinful flesh might want to inflict. Why are you like that? How could you have done that? It is a restraint, holding back what could be inflicted on another person. And then it is showing the kindness of Christ to that one that our flesh wants to inflict something on, but instead, we let the love of Christ come out in tangible ways of expressing his love. And this fulfills a purpose of the cross, this bearing with one another in love. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, we read about one of the purposes of the cross. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. So he has a purpose of taking people who are hostile to God and by the power of the cross bringing them to peace with God. And also these people are hostile with each other, and through the power of the cross making them to be at peace with each other. Two groups who should hate each other, who are hostile to each other, to bring them together, to make them to be at peace through the power of the cross. And that peace, that relationship being expressed by the bearing with one another in love. And this bearing with one another in love displays the glory of the mystery. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 12, we read these words. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me, Paul, for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, the two made one by the power of the cross, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So, there's a mystery that has now been unveiled. It wasn't known before, but now it's true that God wants to make the two one. And there's some imagery in this passage where it talks about this being made known to rulers and authorities. We don't know for sure that this is what it says, but one thing it could say is that we, in our relationship together, the people that he has made one in Jesus Christ, the Gentiles, the Jews, the people who don't like each other, they're different from each other, the two he has made one, we are on display so that we may display the glory of Jesus Christ and the power of his cross by the way that we relate with one another, by the way that we are bearing with one another. well, we don't know for sure that the Lord is displaying this to demons and the devil and all, but we do know the Lord sees, don't we? Don't we know that Jesus Christ is with us? Don't we know that he cares about us? Don't we know that he's the head of the church? Don't we know that the Holy Spirit tends to the church, the life of the body of Christ? He's watching if nobody else is. We could please his heart by bearing with one another in love. But more than that, for sure, there are other people watching. So bearing with one another in love displays the glory of Jesus Christ. What does it mean? And then finally, it maintains the unity of the Spirit. We are instructed in this passage to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has made us one, bearing with one another, expressing long-suffering patience, maintains the oneness in the body of Christ. What might it mean to bear with one another? I'm going to do rapid fire because there's way more than this, I'm sure. But one major way in which we need to bear with one another in love is loving each other in spite of our differences. And we have a lot of differences. Some of us are a lot alike, but also some of us are very different. And I'm talking about differences when no sin is involved. I'm going to talk about sin in a moment. But could be difference in beliefs. First of all, as we think about beliefs in the church, there are essential things that are the basics of the Christian faith that we need to agree on as believers in Jesus Christ. And then there are the non-essentials. Well, even when the essentials are disagreed with, it tells us in the Bible book of Ephesians that we're to speak the truth, the doctrinal truth, in love. We're to bear with one another in love, even at the most basic core beliefs being different. We're to love, bear with one another in love. We're to speak the truth in love, not in superiority, not in condemnation, not in the spirit of strife or competition like we're winning an argument. If we know any truth, if anything we believe is true, we know it because the Lord has made it known to us, not because we have been so smart that we figured it out. There is no reason for us to feel superior toward another person because of what we believe or because of what they don't believe. In fact, what our feeling should be is humility. We should be humbled that God has given us the grace to know the truth about Jesus Christ and helped us to be able to believe it. Bear with one another in differences of belief. Bear with one another in things about which we are passionate. Some of us have passion about worship. Some of us have passion about evangelism. Some about social justice. Some about education. Some about this or that. And sometimes we have this thing that comes over us, possibly, that thinks that everybody should have this passion that we've got. Bear with one another in differences of passion, or how worship should be done, or how a ministry should be done. Bear with one another in differences of passion. Bear with one another in differences related to politics. This is a really dangerous one. There is a temptation that we face as believers in Jesus Christ to come to believe that one way of believing about politics is right. There's one right way when it comes to political issues. and everybody else is wrong. My group is right. Everybody else is wrong. And we can even begin to have a split in our relationship, in fellowship in Christ, based on politics and political differences and beliefs. We can have differences in cultural beliefs. There have been streams in the church that let's separate from all those sinners and let's have our own little Christian ghetto. Let's make sure that we don't ever get exposed to unbelievers and the thoughts of unbelievers and the influence of unbelievers in our lives. Let's have our little foxhole Christianity way of life. There's another stream that is all about, engaging culture and being part of culture and taking on the look and the feel and the values of culture for the sake of making Christ known. And we have to be careful in the cultural differences. We have to be careful of not dividing over how we dress or things we put on our skin or all kinds of different things, those cultural preferences, the music, whatever it is. We have to be careful that Christ prevails over those differences. And then even things like relational style, outgoing, quiet, reserved, boisterous. We need to define the differences, discern the differences, and understand that they don't matter. What matters is Jesus Christ and his cross being the source of our fellowship together. And then we can divide over sin. In Galatians 6, 1 and 2, there are some profound instructions for us. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The image here of bearing one another's burdens is picking up someone and carrying them. The idea is not this person's burdened with life. This person is burdened with their sin. They're struggling with their sin. They keep falling into sin. They keep falling, and we need to pick them up and carry them rather than point the finger at them and saying, shame on you for doing that. That is bearing with one another in love. We should never as individuals accept sin. We should never as a family of faith, when our brothers and sisters are struggling in sin, think that's the best God's got for them. However, the motivation from the heart of Jesus Christ is restoration, not punishment, not condemnation. It's picking up, not putting down. This instruction, bearing with one another in love, can be the thing of shaping history. If you study historical events, it seems like it's the wars, it's the movements, it's the events, it's the moments. But look at the people involved in those things, in the wars, the moments, the events, the movements. Look at the people who are key in those things and look for what was going on maybe that shaped them, these key people. What might have shaped them? Was there someone who did not bear with them in love? Was there someone who did bear with them in love? I have a feeling that if we would take a close look, in most cases, the person who was an influence for what we would call the good, somebody bore with them in love. The bad, it's very likely someone did not bear with them in love, and that influenced them as an influencer. The same in the history of God's people. There are people, if you study them in history, that you will find that there were those there who bore with them in love and others who did not have that in their lives. And those influences were dramatic in shaping the history of the person and the people and what happened in that place and time. It could have been different for good or for evil. It could have been different. And what could have been different was whether or not someone bore with that one in love. I thank God for this family of faith. I love this family of faith. I'm inspired by the way that this family of faith has kept the instruction bearing with one another in love. It has shaped history. It has shaped the history of young people who have grown up in this church. It has shaped the history of the mission of this church. It could have been different. This church could be gone. Literally, this church could be gone. But this people, this family of faith, bore with one another in love, in spite of disappointment, rejection, neglect, and on and on and on, whatever it was. This family of faith has borne with one another in love, and it could have been different. But it's gotten to a really good place, and I believe bearing with one another in love the way you have has made a major impact on the Lord shaping our history and our future. And may it be the legacy that the Lord gives to us, that we bear with one another in love, and that children who grow up in this family of faith, like my children grew up in this family of faith, and my children look at this family of faith, and they learned what it means to bear with one another in love, and it helped them stay in the direction their hearts turned to Jesus Christ. It could have been different, but you bore with one another in love, and it will be the way it is for the children growing up here now. The way that you bear with one another in love will be like a navigation system for them. It will keep them in the direction of Jesus Christ because of the way that they have seen you love one another even through difficult times. May God help that to be our legacy. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that if there is something you want us to deal with, that you would help us to know right now. Who is it? Who, in what relationship do we need to take some action? And how are we to do that? Lord, and if you want to offer your future of bearing with one another to the Lord, open your hands to him right now where you are, to present yourself as a living sacrifice of love to the Lord. Lord, we want to give ourselves over to holding back words and actions of our selfish selves, which call out to us to rage and reject and neglect and condemn and punish. Instead, Lord, we want to give ourselves over to the love of Jesus and the empowering of the Holy Spirit to pour out a sacrifice of bearing with one another in love, generously pouring out the words and acts of love, even to those people who stress us, hurt us, burden us. Lord, take the restraint, take the love you've given me, and take these hands you've given me, which represent what I give back to you, and make my bearing with others in love an influence that shapes your history on earth. And Lord, make our family of faith to leave a legacy of bearing all things in love that would be a road that leads many to the intersection of their lives with those events, those moments, those movements where your history is shaped on earth through those you have raised up in just the right place at just the right time. Lord, as we continue to worship, hear our prayers and help us to hear you speaking.